way, I pray that you sense, you know, we rely a lot on our physical senses, but the presence of the Lord goes beyond that. Amen. It just, there's something, you know, there's something different. And that's the Lord. He likes to show up, and he likes to touch us, surprise us. Amen. And he never leaves us where he finds us. He always wants to lead us to higher ground. And I hope you allow him to lead. You know, shepherds never push the sheep. They always went ahead, and sheep followed. Amen. That's the way the Lord is. He leads us into green pastures, into still waters. And he's so willing to restore our souls that are so tainted by this world. Well, today, I got a sort of a quick message that can take an hour. How many of you, you know, those of you who watch TV, I'm assuming most of you, if not all, you know, sometimes you see it in the TV and you remember that there's something in the pantry called a chip bag, you know, your favorite one. And you go to the pantry and you take one of those bags of chips, you sit down in front of the TV, you open that thing. My question to you is, how many of you have self-control to say, I'm only going to eat one chip? It ain't happening, right? Well, we all struggle with self-control in some areas of our lives. I don't think that bag of chips lasts very long. I mean, you can just eat and you don't even look at the chips. You feel them with your fingers and you scarf them. Self-control is something that we struggle with a lot of times in different areas of our lives. Some people spend, and never save. Others stay late watching TV when we know we have to get up early next morning. Some of us have a habit of waiting for the last minute and even after the last minute to pay our bills. And then we get extra penalties for a late payment. And we do that habitually. Some of us stay hours at a time involved regularly in social media. Not just once a week, but just about every day. And yet you don't spend a minute of the week looking at what the Lord says in his word for us. Ouch. Many of us, our emotions are mostly controlled by our circumstances. This happens around, you know, we're panicked, we're angry, we're upset because things around you trigger you. And you don't have self-control to even think about it. We're always intending, but we hardly ever follow up with those intentions. A lack of self-control is a big issue in our struggle with sin. Now, self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Man, this thing doesn't like me. Come on, work. Okay, we'll do it the hard way. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit who resides in you, if you made Jesus Lord of your life. When you received Jesus, the Spirit of God became a permanent resident in the temple of your body. and it produces fruit. And some of that fruit is called love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And the last one in that list is self-control. And yet, it seems to be a very important, they all are. But we struggle a lot with self-control. In fact, the Bible concludes with those verses saying, against such fruit there is no law. In other words, they are powerful. They can overcome whatever situation you've worked in them. You know, we normally try to defeat sin in our lives several ways. First, and I think that's where we all want to be, we want to prevent sin from occurring in our lives. We want to stop it before it gets started. This point, it will involve understanding ourselves and learning how to deal with the temptations that come our way. You see, temptations will come. So we prevent sin from occurring in our lives, or once we sin or have a particular sin problems, we must learn how to deal with it biblically and stop it. Or like Paul frequently says, that you put off. That's one way of dealing with sin. We put it off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust. You see, we have inside of us, if we are born again, we have two natures. If we're not born again, we only have one. But if Jesus came to your life and the Holy Spirit dwells in the temple, your body, your flesh still carries a sinful nature that drives us towards sin. In our flesh, in our carnal being, the Spirit of God comes to our spirit and wants to lead us to life full and eternal. Amen. And here, our personality is caught in between these two natures. Should I go to the lust of the flesh? Or should I walk in the righteousness of God that I know leads me to enjoyment and peace? So, Paul says, put off this lustful nature in us. And that's a fight. And that's where we find ourselves. In one way, I want to do what's right and proper and good. And on the other side, there's a tugging from the world and the lust, and some things inside me want to do what is wrong, and we know it. And there's a struggle. And there's another way to avoid sinful habits, and that is to replace them with godly habits. And we try that. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't, and it takes time. I understand that. There are a number of important things to consider in our pursuit of Christian self-control. I say Christian because the world has some self-control. Oh, some people just go every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to the gym. And they pump themselves and they work out. Kudos to you, man. I'm just beginning to get sleep at that time. Self-control, the Christian self-control, involves a continuous, careful, and close examination of our hearts. Sometimes we act like we're just it. That's the way I am. Either you like it or not, and I'm going to just going to continue being that obnoxious being. But we need to examine our hearts. Amen. We need to hold our hearts up to God's law and identify our weaknesses our sinful sinful tendencies and every area in our lives where there is a prior pattern or failure or unfaithfulness to the Lord. And we all do. This is something we all struggle with. In James chapter 1, verse 14, James says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." These two natures. There's one that wants to, is bent on sin, in wrong things. And so it pulls us, calls temptation. And so when we're drawn away by those desires and enticed, verse 15 continues, "Then when desire has conceived, when you have yielded to that temptation, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, bring forth death." There's always death concerning sin. We may not realize we have death of our relationship to our Lord. We have death of relationships with one another. We have death of dreams, of self-esteem. So many areas that whenever there's a sin, something really dies. We may not recognize it readily, but God says in His word, sin brings forth death. We need to remember that. It is important for us to understand that the battle for Christian self-control has two levels. One level is an outward level. The other one is inward. It's inside of us. There's a war fought invisibly in the depths of our souls where no one is watching except we and God, you and God, I and God. We know what's going on inside me. It's a war that we cannot escape. And you must fight with all your might. You must be diligent in this warfare. You know, if you're always carrying a stick of dynamite in your pocket, don't go where the sparks are flying. One of those may hit the fuse and you may go up in a blast. 2, we need to understand that nothing outside of us can force us to sin.
That's right.
You know, there's a saying, I don't know if you hear it anymore. I don't think he's mentioned much anymore, but there was a saying some time ago that said, "The devil made me do it." He didn't make you do nothing.
Amen.
In fact, God will not make you do anything. Is an interesting concept. The giving in to temptation lies within us. It is our choice. God wants us to go a certain way, but He will not make you. He will always, like the shepherd, He will point the way and you choose to follow or you choose not to. The enemy will put all kinds of flashing lights and temptations before you, but really he can't force you until he's got you, and then he can do whatever he wants, which is usually not good. But this giving in to temptation always begins right here in our minds. You know, we think that somebody out there did this, that, and the other that made me. No, you chose to. Why? because it is in our mind where we are most vulnerable and where the adversary is most likely to attack. See, it is in the thinking that our weakest areas are found. And the enemy loves to mess with our thinking. You know, a smart military leader will study his opponent, and he only attacks at the weakest points where the enemy's weakness are. He'll always choose the weakest point, and that's where he will attack. You know, you have a rope. I'm always doing stuff, working and pulling things and throwing things and cutting things. And so I use rope and wire and cable and all kind of things to help me out. And sometimes I've got rope stored somewhere in the garage, in your shed. And depending on what I'm going to do, I sometimes need strong ropes. Well, the strength of the rope is not judged at the rope's strongest point. The strength of the rope will always be subject to its weakest point. Amen. And so we need to know what our weaker points are in our lives, in our attitude, in our character. Some people have a problem controlling their anger. That's your weak point. Amen. You lose it, you blow up, and then it's just downhill from there. Others may be tempted to drink an excess of alcoholic beverages. Many men have a particular problem with the lust of the eyes and temptations relating to sexual matters. Many Christians are drawn to the pride of life, and they're obsessed with wealth and material things. And others are quite the opposite. They have a tendency to be lazy and irresponsible. You know, in our flesh, we Christians may falter in the same ways that the world does. And so it is very important that we honestly evaluate ourselves in light of the scriptures, because self-indulgence, ignorance, and self-deception are a result of pride most of the time. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, the Lord says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We're proud people. The wrong kind of pride. We like to be first. We like to be the greatest. We like to be uniquely noticed. And the word speaks to us that we need to be humble. Amen. We need to admit our deficiencies and fight them the right way, biblically. Amen. We need to deal with the first appearance of temptation and sin within us right then when it shows up. We need to start dealing with it the right way. The longer a believer waits to deal with temptation or lust, the more likely that believer will fall into sin. If we don't deal with inner lust immediately, they will consume and conquer us. If you accept it in your mind and begin to consider it and entertain it in your imagination, you are already in a slippery slope towards defeat. The battleground is in the mind to start with. You know, one of the hardest things to control is our own mind. He tends to wander to forbidden areas very easily. Have you tried not to think about something? I'm not going to think about this. And that's exactly what you think about. You can't shake it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. Therefore, we must learn to put off vain thoughts, evil imaginations, and perverse images, and replace them with good thoughts. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it's a great verse that we need to memorize.
Amen.
Yeah. Paul says to the Philippians, finally, brethren, and he's talking to Christians, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. But you know the saying, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage in your mind, that's exactly what you will store, and it will ooze out when you least expect it. Having said all of that, which I know you've heard before, consider what I'm about to say. Self-control, if more, is more of a mind issue than a management issue. We think that self-control is, well, I'll not get mad. I'll just keep quiet. I will keep this body. And I won't say anything till you blow up. You know, my wife is Puerto Rican and she speaks with her hands. And I say, I'm going to tie your hands so you can't speak. Sometimes it works. Against me, really. So this self-control is more of a man issue, mind issue, than a doing issue. It is an indication, self-control is an indication of who we are rather than of what we do. Christian self-discipline must first begin with a discipline of heart and mind. And that's where many times we mess up. You know, remember the Garden of Eden? Satan and the forbidden fruit did not force Eve to commit sin. She first saw it, lusted after it, made excuses for it, and then consented to it in her mind. And then she took action. Bathsheba did not force David to sin. She was minding her own business, taking a bath. But David stood there, stared, plotted, and finally talked himself into committing an evil act. Have you ever seen a bottle of liquor flying off the shelf and pouring itself down a person's throat? Before this happened, it happened here. Christian self-control is like brakes on a car. When they fail, you cannot prevent a wreck. You get broken relationships. You get illicit sexual affairs, broken marriages, addictions, pornography, eating disorder, excessive debt, just to mention a few faulty brakes of self-control issues. And you know what? It is not like it's one big failure, but a series of small, faulty break situations that happen quite regularly. Relationships don't usually break overnight, even though we think that they do. First, there are attitudes. Then those attitudes lead to words. And after those words, there's usually action taken. It all happens every day that you don't put your brakes on your fantasies and you don't control your thinking. You say, what was I thinking? Well, you weren't. Well, you weren't thinking correctly anyway. We put our brake in park and we let our emotions drive us around like a crazy driver. That's why Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Before we can enjoy the blessings of God, we have to be transformed in our thinking. And that will happen for our good when our thinking becomes righteous. Sound thinking is always based on sound doctrine. And you know, we have all been taught some wrong doctrine at some point of our lives. In fact, some of us may still think that we're right in areas that if we search the scriptures, we find, oh, that may not be just quite like that. We need to correct our thinking first in order for us to properly correct our behavior. You see, we want to change. I want to do what's right. Well, if you want to do what's right, you have to change your thinking first. We like discipline. Well, I'll behave. And you put yourself in parameters. And as long as those parameters are there, you have sort of no choice but to abide. But boy, take those parameters out and anything goes. God's word tells us we need to change our thinking before our actions will change. It is easier to correct the what when we know the why. Sometimes we think we have the right to attack somebody because we were hurt in the past. Sometimes we think life is supposed to be easy. That's wrong thinking. In fact, Jesus said, those who live righteously will suffer persecution. Persecution doesn't sound like easy life. Many of us think we have the right to indulge when we are discontented rather than enduring whatever situation we're going through. Nothing works right. I'm going to go have an ice cream sundae and eat my heart out. And this is why the knowledge of the Word of God is so important for us. Because we have to renew our thinking based on truth. If we don't take a moment to correct our thinking based on the Word, we will stay thinking wrong. And as a consequence, we will always be acting wrong in some area. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, I know many Christians that have received eternal life in their heart. When they die, they'll go to heaven, and yet they have a miserable life here because they choose not to learn what truth is all about. And we need to transform our thinking based on God's truth so that we can live a free life as Jesus intended. I need more of Jesus to think the way he thinks so that I can act the way he acts. And you know, he says he bore a lot of fruit to the glory of his Father. And we can too. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to this person, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is why on Wednesday night we're going to start studying the Gospel of John, because we want to know how Jesus acted, how he thought, how he took action, because we want to be like him. Amen. So that we can act like him, so that we can enjoy abundant life like him. The fruit of self-control needs time to grow. Any fruit takes time to grow. And the sooner we get started, the sooner we can see it grow and produce a harvest. We have started preparing for a garden in our home. We've done it maybe once or twice in our lifetime. And, you know, my wife is insisting that we start a garden this fall. And so it took me a day or two to prepare a little plot that we had done some gardening or attempted to do some gardening before. And the bugs won. And of course it was because of our inability or lack of knowledge. But it took me a couple of days to prepare the land. And then we have to go get some good dirt. And then we have to go and get some seed packets. And then we have to Google the timing and the type of things, you know. Google knows everything, right? And so we got seed and we went to our daughter's because she farms a lot more than we do. And she had some starter trays so that we can start our seed. That took time, and last week we put some starter kit and seeds and water, and this morning we were looking at it, my wife and I, and somehow coming up, cucumbers, yay! And then my daughter says, you know, cucumbers don't like ground. You have to prop something up so that they will climb and the cucumbers will not be touching ground. More work. I thought this was an instant thing, you know. You get to wonder sometimes if it's easier just to spend your money in the grocery store rather than planting something. You know, by the time you count what you, the time you spend, the labor, the money, you wonder. But what if they don't have it at the grocery store anymore? You don't know what this world, you know, this world is very unsettling. Yeah. And anything can happen. My wife talks every so often about the EMP bomb, electromagnetic pulse bomb, that ruins everything electronic. And boy, you have had that problem, you know, the grocery store lose internet connection and they can't tell you anything. You can't buy anything, even though it's all there. Because they don't have a thing to punch so that they can scan and price you. So we need to learn to grow. And so my wife and I are working on that. So realize that self-control and renewing the mind is going to take time. So we need to start yesterday. Just like my garden, you know, we started 2 weeks ago. And so it's still, we haven't gotten really started. We just prepared for it. Not having good brakes can cause cars that last a lifetime. Some of you are living marked with bumps and bruises because you had faulty brakes, and you probably still do. That means lack of self-control. As a Christian, you want to say yes to the good and no to the bad. Amen. But without self-control, you cannot do it. And it all starts with us correcting our way of thinking. Amen. I'll end up with this scripture, Proverbs 23:7. Technically, or we can summarize to say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are what we think. And boy, are we watching what we're putting in our minds? You know, we want to be healthy eaters, and we want to eat fruit and veggies and less hamburgers and fake food. But we're not discriminating on what we put through our minds, through the gateway of the eyes and the ears. You are what you think, and you will act based on how you think. So we need to start working on right thinking. And that's what I encourage you to do today. This is why God gave us a manual. And in that manual, he tells us how to experience abundant life. We have been brought up with a lot of wrong thinking, and God wants us to change our thinking to match his thinking so that we can enjoy the life he wants us to enjoy. Father, I thank you that you have not left us here to find our way by ourselves. Lord, you have given us your spirit, and then you have given us your word that contains all your principles, your guidance, your direction, the ways for us to think rightly so that we can have right results. Lord, I pray that we would spend less time on the things of the world and concentrate a little more on the things that you have given us for us to have abundant life. Father, if we don't sow, we don't reap. That's principle your kingdom. Father, help us to sow good things into our minds so that we can have a good and godly harvest of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you help each one of us that are having self-control issues in our lives to come to your word and find answers that will help us think rightly and therefore transform our behavior to one that you bless. Father, I bless your people and I thank you. Lead us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. We're going to have a baptism back there, so don't go away. Enjoy the celebration.